Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And hi, I'm Andrew DeWolf.
And I'm Liz Esten.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where I try to get Andrew and Liz to like musical theater. How are we doing today?
Well, I'm your killer.
Oh, again?
Yep. Although it's in the future or the past. Kind of depends how you put it.
Does that
anyway,
make Liz
here's
death?
My story, or your story.
I guess I'm death. I don't know.
Yeah.
Two in a row where we got death as one of the characters.
Yeah, death is much more horny in this one than the last one, though, which
death is
a detriment
horny,
to the last
and
one.
I am not that
fucking
horny.
God. I'm going to be real here. Death should be horny. I feel like death is like a horny subject.
I feel like death should be a sexual masochist. Like, come on.
Yeah.
European musicals. In case you haven't picked this up, we are talking about the very famous musical, Elizabeth Das Musical. Cue the music.
Niemand war so stolz wie sie. Sie verachtete euch. Sie hat gelacht über euch. Niemand hat sie jemals ganz verstanden. Nie gab sie die Freiheit auf. Sie wurde in das Dunkel
The world premiere of Elizabeth, directed by Harry Kumpfer, took place on September 3rd, 1992 at the Theater an der Wien in Vienna, Austria, where it ran until January of 1997. That is 5 years on stage. The story portrays the life and death of Empress Elizabeth of Austria. Fuck me.
Australia.
Austria. Well then, good day, mate.
We got a good episode today. It portrays the life and death of Empress Elizabeth of Austria, also known as Sisi, wife of Emperor Franz Joseph I, from her engagement and marriage in 1854 to her murder in 1898 at the hands of the Italian anarchist Luigi Lucchini, through the lens of her growing obsession with death as her marriage and her empire crumble around her at the turn of the century. Weird Euro musicals, am I right?
Yeah.
And by weird, you mean good, right?
Incredible. They are doing it better than Americans and always have, and even better than the Londoners.
Riddle me this, Batman.
I'm ready.
This came out in fucking 1992?
Yes.
And there's no American version of it? And I can't find it on Spotify?
Not a single English-speaking country has brought about Elizabeth. Maybe the themes just wouldn't translate?
I feel so attacked by this whole thing.
It's traveled Europe and France and Asia. Like, there are very famous, like, all-female Takazuma productions. Please forgive me for the pronunciation of everything I say in this entire fucking... We have talked about three other musicals from Kunze and LeVay on this show. That would be Mozart, Rebecca, and Elizabeth. Like, this is the third one.
Mozart was good. Rebecca was
a mess.
it was okay. It was some of the music in that is still pretty good though.
Yes.
I mean, tell me you're not still sometimes like Rebecca. Like, come on.
I didn't sing it like that.
Oh, well, that's because you can't sing. That's
yes.
Okay.
That is
not everybody can sing.
Well, no, because it's much lower. It's like Rebecca. Rebecca is easily the least good of all three. Rebecca is also the only one that was ever almost in America. It was so close. And then it all fell apart famously, as you will see in an incredible video by Staged Right and no other videos. So what do we all think about Elizabeth Das Musical?
Okay.
Okay.
I think that the music in this was fucking incredible. And maybe I'm going too far. Maybe I'm easily impressed. I do feel easily impressed this week, I guess.
Easily impressed by Euro musicals.
I always am easily impressed by Euro musicals, I won't lie. But they do it, man. They do it so well.
They do it better. I was middling on this one, not gonna lie.
Really? You didn't think the music was great?
Music was great. Music was good. The staging, the set design, all of that was wonderful. I just didn't feel myself very engaged with the plot outside of the moments when Death and Elizabeth were trying the fuck.
Okay, but to be real though, when those came, if you know what I'm saying,
yes.
Pun intended, it was really good.
It was really good. I think I described this to you over text as the Phantom of the Opera with, as Evita with Phantom of the Opera sprinkles. Like, what if you took Evita and just decided to throw the Phantom of the Opera in there every now and then?
So basically, what if this was the best Andrew Lloyd Webber musical of all time?
Yes, you are definitely pitching this.
Yeah.
And if it was written by Andrew Lloyd Webber, this would be 100% the best Andrew Lloyd Webber musical of all time.
Yeah.
Truly, this show impressed me, and it is short. It's like a tight, like 120 minutes. It does not waste your time at all. It goes through this woman's life. It deals with things very succinctly, and it has like this weird kind of death mysticalism to it.
That's my favorite part of it, and I really love how it like ends as well.
Yeah, we're just
the whole thing.
It does deal a lot with like political intrigue that I don't know if I particularly understood, and a lot of like interpersonal bullshit between like her husband and her mother-in-law and like all that kind of stuff where I'm like, I'm not gonna lie, I just was not particularly interested. However, when we get to the point where she starts losing people, like her children and all that, that's when it gets really powerful. And when she becomes the independent woman as opposed to like the wilting flower that she was kind of falling into the trope of in act one, then I kind of found myself actively engaging a bit more. But Andrew, could you explain the plot to me at all?
I'm here to help.
Okay. Liz is going to have to help a lot.
I got you.
So this is the story of an actual person, Empress Elizabeth of Austria, not Australia. Good day, mate.
Good day, Mike.
From my brief readings on Wikipedia, they seem like a bad person. Am I misled?
Yeah. Misunderstood. I wouldn't say misunderstood. Embraced by her culture. No. Embraced by her culture for things that aren't really representative of who she was. So a lot of her people that she was, much like Evita, thought she was sainted, thought she was this wonderful thing, when really she was kind of doing some less than savory things behind the scenes that really come to light later. I think there was like a very famous film that framed Cece as like this beautiful duchess and like such a gorgeous queen and all that, or empress. And that is what they're making fun of in the Act Two opening number, Kitsch.
Wie wär's mit diesem Bild? Elisabeth als Mutter mit Rudolf, ihrem Sohn. Hä? Oder hier, ist das nicht nett? Die Kaisers feiern Weihnacht im festlichen Salon. Auf diesem Glas sehen Sie das Hohepaar in Liebe zugeneigt. Prost, einen Teller hab ich auch, der Elisabeth beim Beten in der Hofkapelle zeigt. Nehmt ein hübsches Souvenir mit aus der kaiserlichen Welt. Alles innig, lieb und sinnig, so wie es euch gefällt.
But she has like an obsession with death in a way, and death sort of follows her. A lot of people die in this, and then she dies. And the story is opened and sort of narrated by the person who kills her. There is a lot going on. It's in German. It's all subtitles. This would be really good if it had an English version, so I would be able to better tell what the fuck's happening. But, I mean, Liz, why don't you cover some of the more detailed aspects that I'm not covering here?
There's a lot that happens here. Oh God. So Sissy, which I learned is a new nickname that I have, new nickname option I have. That's things I've learned while watching this.
Sissy.
I have like 17 nickname options as an Elizabeth. Yeah, Sissy, due to some weird wacky bullshit, like, and this is in history, wacky bullshit. Her sister is going to marry the Duke, the prince guy that Elizabeth ends up marrying. And the real historical reason, which is in the show, is Sissy was wearing black when they met, which made her beauty stand out more. And her sister was wearing pink. So the prince was like, I don't think she's very hot. I don't want to marry her. And the prince insisted, I'm going to marry this 16-year-old girl and you cannot stop me.
Gross.
I must marry this 16-year-old girl. And so after a week, she succumbed. She's like, okay, I'll marry the 16-year-old. Okay, we'll get married. It's fine. Then it took like a week to consummate the marriage. Maybe. It's disputed. They have kids. The mother-in-law steals the kids immediately because she's evil. Like,
yeah, it's a very evil, unpleasant character.
Which
that
she was in real life, apparently, according to historical records. So, you know.
I mean, it's like royal family stuff. They're all evil. Like, come on.
Yeah, they're all evil. It's all fucking monarchy.
It's all an incest pile.
Yeah, it really is. Death also appears periodically. I won't mention that, but like, Death shows up a lot.
And Death is the best part of this musical, and we'll talk about him at length eventually, but that's not really important right here.
Yeah, anyway, so she has two daughters, they're Matt. She finally has a son, but the son is also taken away, like the daughters are taken. The son ends up dying via a murder-suicide with his lover at the time, like, later on. It was known historically as, like, the Mayerling incident, I think, yeah, based on the hunting lodge they were in. I did a lot of research while watching this because I didn't heard of her, and I'm a nerd, so I just do research.
No, this is good information to have. And all of this, while it does sound dense, it comes at you so fast. Like, all the stuff is so much at you.
There's no pausing to do exposition type stuff. It's all run on.
It run. Her life is very fast. Like,
and it's an operetta, so it's all back-to-back music, too, which I think is very effective. And it's all told from the point of view of her inevitable terrorist killer. And let's just jump to that point. So she's been avoiding Death and, like, meeting him and bumping into him several times throughout until her eventual death. And I still don't quite understand his politics. I don't quite know all that. So explain that to me, Liz.
I'm having trouble understanding his politics. He was known as an Italian anarchist. So
he probably hates the royals.
Yeah, so he just really hates like a lot of he hates people from what I can gather. No one can really pinpoint why he killed her. Like exactly.
Which
just,
I think
like,
is a very effective. It's good to have him as like our narrator if we don't really know his motivations, because we can latch on whatever motivation the authors might want onto him, much like Che Guevara in Evita.
He was sentenced to life in prison because capital punishment didn't exist in Geneva at the time, and he died in prison.
Good for him. Did a horrible thing, went to prison, died there.
Yeah, also the documentation of the autopsy was destroyed at some point in history, so we don't have any documentation of what happened to her. So
I'm sure that's just normal things.
He probably just shot her.
No, he stabbed her in the heart, allegedly.
It was a stab. She was stabbed below her left breast with a wooden-handled 4-inch knife.
I wonder if he just, like, happened to be on the same boat as her and was just like, oh, shit, that's that person I hate. Stab.
I'm an anarchist. Let's go.
Well, this will create anarchy, you know?
And I'm Italian, so, you know, might as well.
Problem solved.
We fixed it.
Yes. Well, now that we've hit the facts, let's talk about the heightened reality where Death is personified as sometimes androgynous, sometimes less androgynous, a highly masculine figure of this sexy rock god that's flirting with everyone until he makes out with them to kill them. Literally, the kiss of Death kills so many people in this. Death appears in many different forms, sometimes in drag, sometimes just presently, very often as a seducting kind of presence. And he is wonderful. Truly, anytime he is on screen, it is the best part of it. It also shows Elizabeth as receptive at times to death, being an emotional kind of a romantic partner, which a lot of people has interpreted as her suicidal ideation, basically flirting with death and a representation of her own suicidal side. And that's iffy. That's like dark things to play with. I wish they kind of lent into that more, but I know we're dealing with a real person. Andrew, 1,000 years ago when we covered Evita, you were very weary about covering real people in heightened musical ways without like a you kind of both sides in that episode. I'm like, well, I feel like we shouldn't do this. Now that this is so incredibly heightened and so entirely removed, what is your opinion on this?
You know, I think I've had a come around on that, and I feel like I am more okay with it now, both in this and in Evita. Mm-hmm. I think I kind of see what they're going for now more than I did then, and I think it's probably a good way to do it. It makes a story that could be really boring and like historical more emotional and like readable to an audience.
This may just be on my mind because okay. Last night I saw Killers of the Flower Moon. 4 hours, no exaggeration.
Jesus.
Four
Jesus
hours in a movie
I'm
theater.
Sorry. That's too long.
That's too long.
I don't care how good
your
movie
you need
is.
A
that's
goddamn
too long.
Intermission. Like
the movie was wonderful, but no movie needs to be 4 hours long. But
I know Thelma Shoemaker said like none, but no, we need it.
I will say I was never bored. Like 4 hours, I was not once bored. But it shows you like the most horrific imagery that I've ever seen. And then the movie ends, like its epilogue is spoilers for Killers of the Flower Moon, skip ahead, I guess. It is a radio play of people taking and summing up the rest of these people's lives as entertainment for a cheering, clapping, a laughing audience. And then for the last person, like little where are they now? Martin Scorsese himself steps on camera and just reads it, and that is the end of the film, where he is actively saying you are complicit and turning this genocide into entertainment just as much as I am, and you're enjoying it, which is incredibly harrowing. But that has kind of changed the way I view a lot of representations of true events on screen, of taking true people that did horrendous things and then kind of romanticizing them, which for better or for worse, this kind of does.
I can agree with that, though. I feel like you run into a rabbit hole, which I feel like what you just talked about sort of acknowledges it, where it's like, now you just can't do anything,
yes.
Right? It's like, so like, okay, do you not make a really good movie/musical about this topic because of that? Or do you reference the fact that you are making it into entertainment? Or like, it gets to a point where it's like, is it ever ethical to do anything? And it's just like, well, kind of yes, but also kind of no.
And nothing's ethical, which is part of the reason why I love that ending so much, where it's like, yeah, I know this is fucked up and you know it's fucked up, but we're all still here. You showed up anyways. Yeah. I do want to talk a little bit about the controversy with the different interpretations of death over the years. So
yeah, you wanted to bring that up. You were about to.
Death in the original production, androgynous, and anytime he kills anyone, it is a seduction ending in a very blatant kiss. Like, man, woman, doesn't matter. The next version...
The kiss of death.
Literally. The next version, I think that original was Uwe Kroeger, who is a great Vienna actor. I've seen him in other things like Dracula, Das Musical. Then we got another actor who said, well, he did it so well, I'm going to play mine a little bit more masculine, kind of remove the androgyny. And since this is supposed to be a representation of Elizabeth's favorite poet, I forget the name of the poet, but apparently that is supposed to be a representation of that poet.
Heinrich Heine.
Yes. Heinrich Heine. Elizabeth was a heterosexual woman. He was a heterosexual man. So I'm going to play it strictly heterosexual. The kiss was still there, but he was just much more masculine and less androgynous. And that was the performance we watched. Like, that was kind of the middle ground.
Apparently had some David Bowie in there, too.
Oh, definitely.
Apparently, yeah, as well.
You can see it very much in there. Very labyrinth. As time progressed on, they kept pushing it more masculine. And removed a lot of the more homoerotic side and wrote even a brand new song for Elizabeth and Death to Sing together to embrace like the Phantom of the Opera kind of nature of them.
The song is called the I've Got a Case of the Not Gays. It's really bad. I'm not gay.
Death ain't
gay. Are straight. We are straight. We are so very straight.
But when the show was revived again in 2022, their excuse was COVID, where they removed a lot of the male kiss, almost basically all the male kissing, but they kept the kiss between Death and Elizabeth.
You can't use COVID as an excuse if you include one kiss.
Exactly.
Come on. Come on. Fuck that.
Where we just kind of made Death more heteronormative. And as progressive as we've gotten, we've kind of gotten a little bit more conservative with this specific character from over 30 years' time.
Yeah.
Time to go back.
Yeah, let's go back. Time to roll it back. Can we go backwards for once? Like, Jesus Christ.
Is there gonna be any new performances of this?
Oh, yeah, they're doing a brand new version of this. Like, every 10 years, they basically bring Elizabeth back.
Yeah, there's
but never to the States.
Never in the States.
2022.
Why? Yeah. Did this come after Rebecca?
No, this is before Rebecca.
So that's not even why. Okay, so why is there no States version? I really want to know.
I just don't imagine this doing very well in the States. Sincerely.
You really don't think so?
I think the argument would be very hard to make when the most highest running Broadway show currently is like, you know, the Disney shit. Lion King.
But what else is on there? Like right now, that's the only thing that is playing on Broadway. So it's like, what are we?
When is the last time something like this was popular on Broadway? Can you even think? Like, Great Comet tried to do something interesting like this, and they flopped so badly.
I mean, like Les Mis.
That was
yeah, but even every revival of Les Mis is kind of diminishing returns.
I mean, sure, but those are revivals. What if something new that was like Les Mis came out?
Yeah,
I don't know. The I want to say this right. Do you know anything about Takarazuka productions in Japan?
I'll be honest, I don't.
So that is probably as far as this has gone. That is all female production. So that is like a proper kind of cultural thing in Japan where they will put on, like they did the Phantom musical that we saw that was very famously done there. And this had a very prominent thing and all the kissing was left in despite it being in Japan.
Okay.
This has reached so far and wide. This is one of the most popular worldwide musicals of all time. It just hasn't hit any English-speaking countries yet. And sadly, as much as I appreciate and respect the show and like felt creatively invigorated, I found myself emotionally muted. I felt myself kind of apathetically connected to it. I was only appreciating the aesthetics and the general feeling of vibes rather than actively engaging with the story, the narrative, the characters, and as a piece. And I feel that is probably on me more than it is on the show because the show was obviously doing something right. Visually, we haven't even talked about the staging, how so many sets, so many different sets throughout it. Truly incredible.
It's a fucking European show.
Yeah.
That isn't from England. Yeah. I don't know what else to say. Every time we cover one of these, we're just like, where the fuck, how is it so good? Okay. And like, you said something about how they fund the arts there. And
yes.
Like, is this government funded?
This was commissioned by the
government.
The United Stages of Vienna. It's a production company, but basically by Vienna. And it is one of several musicals like Tanz der Vampire, Mozart, Rebecca, were all commissioned by this theater run by the state of Vienna.
And you Americans are going to look at me and be like, capitalism's the way. Come on. Look at what Broadway is pumping out and compare it to this shit.
Oh, yeah.
Tell
Mrs.
me that
Doubtfire?
The government can't do anything right. Yeah. Tell me that the government doesn't do anything right.
They
like,
also funded
on.
A Barbarella musical. So
that's hey. Fucking gold.
Yeah. This guy's kind of sick.
There's no negatives here. I'm totally for that.
Yeah.
I just
my tax dollars should be going towards this, not towards. I don't want to get too topical.
towards you know a certain genocide.
Yeah, the Flower Moon. Don't do that.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Let's not do that.
But speaking of everything, how about Liz? Why don't you tell us a little bit about? I put a tweet out there asking
yes.
if anyone had any big opinions on Elizabeth Doss musical. And I do that a lot for like things I'm like, I want to know the general consensus of. This had a a big response, to say the least.
It has. It has.
All right, what
people
do we got?
People like this one.
People love this one. We have quite a bit. Deep passion.
We do. We have some mix. We have a user whose name is literal Jesus Christ, and I'm not even joking.
Oh, they got the name?
Who said, love the concept, but love the concept, not loving the execution.
Which we also I can have understand.
We also have a lot of positive ones. Someone was intrigued just by the picture you tweeted, so they'll probably check it out and also become a fan. Juliet Antonio, our keeper of the cheese,
yes,
hopped in and said, there's one high note Death sings in Pianissimo? I can't talk. That made my soul leave my body.
Very Juliet thing to say. Very in character.
Very Juliet, yeah. All Faye Rivera said, all I know is that I belong to me lives in my head rent free.
Ich will nicht gehorsam gezähmt und gezogen sein. Ich will nicht bescheiden, beliebt und betrogen sein. Ich bin nicht das Eigentum von dir, denn ich gehöre nur mir. Ich möchte vom Drahtseil herabsehen auf diese Welt. Ich möchte aufs Eis gehen und selbst sehen, wie lang's mich hält. Was geht es dich an, was ich riskier? Ich gehöre nur mir.
Username Hugo's Sewer Party.
Nice.
Said, Death is at his best when he's played by an androgynous woman in the Japanese version that I'm not going to try to say the word because I can barely speak at this point in my
which
life.
I almost completely agree with. I feel like more women productions of this show would be interesting. Or having a woman play Death would be fascinating. Or even a gender neutral, non-binary would be a wonderful choice.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a non-binary, like gender fuck type of thing.
Takara Zuka.
Yes.
Oh, you nailed it in the first one? Fuck you.
Amazing. I didn't even try. But yeah, overall, the Twitter there, which has very gotten responses, I would check it out on Jess's Twitter if you want to hear any more wonderful opinions. But it's has a lot of positivity. Like, it's very good. I enjoy it quite a bit. All the songs have great effect on me. There's some a tweet
well,
from the person
we have
who requested
a lot of sway
this
on Broadway.
So.
So, you guys know what to do. Yeah. I'm talking to you producers that listen to our show, all zero of you. Yeah.
I did want to shout out A Good Nighttime Comes So Rarely, a blog and podcast, where they have a really good, deep appreciation for Elizabeth Doss musical. Truly good. If you really want a good, like, educated vibe on what's going on in Euro theater, that is a good place to start, and you will get a lot of good info from there. So please check them out at garlicgothic.altarvista.org. Truly, if you want some good material, check that out. All right. How about we go into a mid-show?
I found a quote from the guy who killed Elizabeth. So he said, in a newspaper pretending to be, he originally planned to kill the Duke of Orleans, but apparently just couldn't find him. That's literally the only reason that Duke didn't die. He wrote to a Geneva newspaper under a pseudonym the following quote. I am an anarchist by conviction. I came to Geneva to kill a sovereign with the object of giving an example to those who suffer and those who do nothing to improve their social position. It did not matter to me who the sovereign was whom I should kill. It was not a woman I struck, but an empress. It was a crown I had in view. So,
hey,
hates monarchy.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, he just happened to be in the same place as her and was like, oh,
he couldn't find the original guy, so he's like, fuck it, I'll kill this lady.
Reminds me of Mark David Chapman, who killed John Lennon, who had a plan to kill like five other people too, and John Lennon just seemed like the easiest. Like, his original plan was to go to Broadway, see George C. Scott, shoot him, then run and go kill John Lennon. Like, he was unhinged. Truly an unhinged guy.
Why John Lennon? I never understood
John
that.
Lennon,
he was obsessed.
What did John Lennon do?
He was a fundamentalist Christian at a certain point who was obsessed with John Lennon.
You explained it all already.
Yeah,
I got
it.
And when John Lennon said, you know, the Beatles were bigger than Jesus, and imagine there's no heaven, none of the good reasons to kill John Lennon, like, you know, the wife beating
you. You said everything when you said fundamentalist Christian. I understood it immediately.
He's still alive in prison. I wonder if people write to him. That is a sincere question.
People write to Chris Watts.
I'll write to him. I'm gonna write to him. I'm gonna send a letter every single day with all of the lyrics from Imagine.
No, just do one lyric per letter. Just torture him.
Imagine. There's no heaven.
Heaven.
No. It's no. What easy. You should send if him every day is a VHS of the celebrity singing Imagine from the COVID. Hey guys, sorry to interrupt you in the middle of the show, but we've got a shill out of you. Today's show is brought to you by the extremely kind donations by our donors over at Patreon, including this specific episode, which was a Patreon request episode from our patron Angela, who tends to request a lot of these Euro musicals. So yeah, thank you, Angela, and I hope we did your show justice.
Our current patrons are Melissa Goldman, Danielle Renix, Peasant Chick, Jess the Stampede, Ewan Cassidy, Monica Thoreau, Brent Black, Lasagna Stacey Coombe, Joseph Evans Green, Mary Lou Choquette, John Vanals, Russ Walker, Musical Hell, Emily Gracie, Kyle Summers, Janae C., Scoot and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, Liz Lim, Nothing is Certain Except Beth and Taxes, Thesbian, Robert Benjamin, Jessica T., Mitchell Young, Chai Teacup, Chris Marcote, Keiji Marie Anastasio, Trevi Joseph, Leela, RJ Nariga, Julia McLannan, Bjorn Hermans, Toriana Frazier, Sammy the Adequate Amount Jacobson, Angela, Kaylee Blazier, Cinemageddon Reviews, Villainous Miss, Sophina Ali, The Omega Geek, Paige Pearson, Maddie Wargle, Eliza Erdman, Anna Loskatova, Sarah Den Blaker, Evan Ball, Zachary Therese, Rora Morasso, Mara Forloin, Lisa L., Possessed Washing Machine, I almost said Poisoned Washing Machine, that's not
Wouldn't
right.
that be great?
A poison washing machine.
Nick Rowe 10, Puffy Boy, Julia Hardy, Sydney Hicks, Anna Bell, Billy Clifton, Andrew Wright, The Red Caboose Kaboom, Gold-Plated Kiki Mora, and Julia Balder's daughter.
These fuckers give us money. You want to give us money? We'll give you a Dear Evan Hansen commentary. Let's talk about Elizabeth, I guess.
Oh, you want to talk about me? I'm kidding.
We haven't made that joke yet.
No, I haven't made the joke that my name is Elizabeth.
The show opens with, I want to say, the prologue is just like a court case for Luchini,
yeah.
Between Death, a judge, and Luchini, and it's a weird kind of opening for what is not that heightened a show. I know we talk about the Grim Reaper Death being in it a lot, but it's not that heightened. So it is a very kind of carousel style opening for a very grounded musical about politics.
Sie weichen aus, Lucchini! Liebe, Tod! Erzählen Sie keine Märchen!
Perkenner! Sie liebte Heinrich Heine!
Zum letzten Mal, Lucchini! Wer waren Ihre Hintermänner?
Der Tod. Nur der Tod.
Das Motiv, Lucchini.
Die Liebe. Und dann. Amore.
Elisabeth.
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 I still really like it, though.
Yeah.
Although, I think that that's just kind of, anytime death is here, it's like, you know it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the part where I don't really know what to say. Truly, this show baffles my soul. I don't quite even know how to tackle it.
Well, what do you mean?
Like, the songs kind of blur together. It is an operetta where they kind of all, it's not exactly like, oh, a song starting up. It's always a song.
Yeah, it does. So these type of shows, it does get difficult to, like,
remember which moment is
songs.
Which.
Yeah, because like we're looking at a list here. Usually when we look at a list of songs, there's like 10. We're looking at a list of like 40 songs, probably.
That's a lot.
And it's like, wait, so which one was which?
And you're just kind of like baffled. Not baffled, you're daunted. Very much daunted.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
The thing is, too, there was a lot of really great songs, but it's more that it's not that there was individual songs that felt really good. It was that the entire piece as a whole felt really good.
It does. And like, there's so many compilations. Like, there's not like when you Google Elizabeth Das Musical in YouTube, you see compilations more than individual songs. Like, the top ones are Elizabeth, but it's only death scenes.
That's the version I want.
Elizabeth, but it's only Leishman scenes. Like, it is not a show where it's like everyone's looking up the Phantom of the Opera or Music of the Night. It's like, I want to see my sexy devil boy. I want to see how sexy it is.
What if we make a tier list of Euro musicals?
That sounds like a plan.
That sounds great. I will. Yes, you want to type that? Or alt? I will type you.
Okay. Euro period musical, not West End tier list. There are. Okay. Rank it now.
All right, I'm putting it at the bottom of this doc so we can go back to it.
Oh, God. There's so many of these. Holy shit.
Okay. You got ABC.
So we're
going
to do a tier list of these.
Notre Dame de Paris. Okay, so the thing here. Okay, so I go A, B, C, D, right? We're not going to do S. We're not going to do F. I'm going to say we just put that in A, though maybe it moves down if we remember something or something like that.
Yeah.
Tons de Vampire, which.
Oh, yeah, someone with Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Maybe
yeah.
C. No, this is the Total Eclipse one. That's C.
That's a Total Eclipse of Heart one. Yeah. I watched that one, actually.
I think that's C.
Yeah.
Now we have like four Draculas. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Draculas.
We've only covered one of them, haven't we?
Yeah, which
yes,
one
we
is
have.
It?
The Dracula what? We covered.
This is
I
the Frank
like...
Wildhorn one, which is the bad one.
Okay, so that's automatic.
Yeah. Yeah. Frank Wildhorn one is automatic bottom tier. D tier.
E. D. D. D.
Oh, so it's not even in.
Okay.
Mozart, L'Opera,
Dracula...
Rock.
Mozart, the opera rock, at least B tier, maybe A?
I think that's A.
Yeah, I'm going to say A.
And
what else have we covered in here?
God. Yeah, Rebecca?
On the show. Yeah,
Rebecca. I think Rebecca is
B.
B? I think B. I think it has enough going for it that I'd still put it in B.
And I think, if I'm not wrong, that is all of them. Because these are specifically excluding West End.
Didn't we cover Dracula as well? Like, not the Frank Wildhorn one.
What was that?
Didn't we cover like a Dracula version that wasn't the
no,
Frank
that was
Wildhorn
Tons der Vampire. Oh, and Elizabeth.
Oh, okay,
we gotta put Elizabeth in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, it's
oh Elizabeth. I think Elizabeth is B, but above. It might even be A.
Yeah, I think it's
I don't
A.
know.
I think it's A.
The,
right.
The music is
honestly,
so
I
solid.
Put Elizabeth above Notre Dame, but below Mozart.
Mozart was really good. Is that really all the ones we've covered? I feel like we've done more.
Der Glockner von Notre Dame, which isn't on here, I'd put in there, and I'd put that right above Notre Dame de Paris.
Yeah, okay. You'd put it above?
Above Notre Dame de Paris, yes.
Oh, wait, is Notre Dame de Paris, is that
the
non-Disney one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we're all over the place now. Do you want to include opera? Do you want to include the Mozart we covered?
Mozart, the Magic Flute. I put that above Rebecca.
I put that in B.
Yeah,
I
above
put that in
Notre
B,
Dame
above...
de Paris.
Yeah.
Okay, I wrote all this down. It's fine.
This is a fucking mess, guys.
Musicals
and cheese episode ever. Just write it. Make that hashtag.
Okay.
God.
And
okay, so our tier list here of European. We have at number one.
Mozart, L'Opera Rock.
Mozart.
I have the ones that aren't on the tier list too.
Perfect. Then Elizabeth.
Then Elizabeth.
Then Der Glockner von Notre Dame.
Then Notre Paris.
Then Notre Dame de Paris. Then Rebecca. Then Tons de Vampire.
You forgot Magic Flute.
Magic Flute is above Notre Dame de Paris, but below Der Glockner von Notre Dame.
So it's above Rebecca,
Yes. Then Tons de Vampire, then Dracula.
Frank Wildhorn's Dracula.
Any of the other Draculas.
Not any of the other 500 other ones.
Which we can't judge yet because we haven't seen.
We haven't seen all of the Draculas.
No, but this
is... If you notice anything, this is a very top-heavy list.
Yeah. For the patrons who are watching this, you see this.
But now we have this whole list of other ones that honestly look pretty interesting. What the fuck is 49 Shades of Grey?
I don't... What? I'm Googling that.
There's one less. They removed one of the Shades of Grey.
And then there's the Frankenstein musical, which I've heard is interesting. Not boring.
Can we get a Creature from the Black Lagoon musical?
I think there is one.
No, that's Toxic Avenger.
We got a bunch of...
Oh, wait, there is one. It only played in Universal Studios.
Yes.
That doesn't fucking count, does it?
In the upper lot from 2009 to 2010. Who did the score, though?
Yeah, Maxwell Green made a video on this if you want detail and like want to see what it looks like, by the way. The Creature of the Black Lagoon musical. But I don't know who composed it.
So what is our overall thoughts on a Elizabeth Das musical and our cheese rating? Andrew?
Well, my main overall thought is that we didn't do it justice, but honestly, you should go find a fucking version of this and fucking watch it. Because it's fucking solid. It's solid. Am I wrong?
No, it's great.
You're right.
Like,
you're right.
It's very hard. It's difficult to discuss. It's not an easy thing to talk about. And it's something that I feel like...
We should have prepared better.
If you're interested in these Euro musicals, though, like, you can find them places and you should fucking watch them. Don't get intimidated by the fact that they're not in English. Like, just fucking watch it.
Truly. And I know it'll be daunting, but my God, there's so many things on YouTube that can get you into this properly.
Yeah. Even like just a compilation to get started. Just jump in slowly if you need.
Yes. Don't be afraid of the subtitles.
Okay. That goes for movies too. Like, for fuck's sake, some people just watch some fucking foreign films. My God.
Yeah. Complaining, oh, it's all Marvel movies. Go watch something not in English, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
My God, just if you haven't seen Parasite, just start there. I mean, it won the fucking movie thing. What did it win?
It won the movie thing.
It won the movie award, the Gamer's Choice Award.
What was its IGN
rating?
Gamers hate
that movie. Joker didn't win because of it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. It was that year. Yeah,
Parasite is everything that Joker should have been. Like, I don't even fucking care.
Exactly.
Parasite is literally Joker, but better.
I watched Joker with my significant other, and if he told me I thought that movie was amazing, I was going to consider dumping him because I hated it that much.
I'm just excited for Joker too.
He hated
also,
it.
Also, my cheese rating is Mondseer, which is a popular Austrian cheese.
All right.
Fair enough. Joker 2, going to be a musical. Definitely going to make everyone see it. I mean, we gotta.
I know.
Joker 2.
Is easy because it made some money. La 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 la.
Okay, I'm excited for Joker 2.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited.
I'm not gonna watch Joker 1 either.
No, you like, shouldn't.
I'm going straight into Joker 2. The only thing I've seen from Joker 1 is the meme edits of him shooting Alec Baldwin or whatever.
Not Alec Baldwin.
Robert De Niro.
Bobby De Niro. You're laughing. You confuse me for Alec Baldwin, and you're laughing.
Yeah, I finished musical cheese video a few years ago, and Jess said, one more thing. I want you to include the De Niro meme from Joker. And I'm like, what? And then I looked it up.
You get
what
you fucking deserve.
You're laughing. Got it.
They pretended it was a prom night, and you're laughing.
Yeah, I didn't get the joke until I Googled the meme, and I was like, oh, that's why this is funny. Okay. Got it.
I think we were criticizing the girl that played Emma in that movie. Like, they're making fun of you and you're laughing.
This is a smiling being bullied. It's fucking awful. Anyway, all right.
That movie's not good.
It's not. Anyway, should I give my cheese ratings?
Yes, please.
It's fucking chaotic. I like this a lot. The main character has my name, so it's. I find these movies weird because they kept saying it, and I'm like, what do you want from me, Germany? Like, I'm right here. It's weird hearing your own name for like 2 hours straight. Also, weird fun fact I found out while doing all this research. The date of her assassination is my legitimate actual birthday.
What?
Reborn.
Yes, I am the reincarnation of this random Austrian woman, clearly.
Andrew,
clearly.
You gotta stab this empress bitch.
I'm on it.
Andrew, please don't stab me.
My anarchy calls me. Must stab people named Elizabeth.
Purple people.
But yeah, that was weird. I like this a lot. I don't want to like get into details about it because like just watch it. Like, you need to just experience this for yourself. It's an experience. Yeah, don't be afraid of the German or the subtitles. Like, engage in it as a story. That's all you really need to do. Like, you might need to read a little, but that's fine. Just put down your phones for 10 seconds or whatever. Like, engage with it. I'm going to give it Lüneburg cheese, which is another popular Austrian cheese. I think Andrew and I are reading the same exact article. So
I fucking hope so.
Yeah.
They all said it. The show's good. It's very interesting. I felt emotionally kind of apathetic towards it, which frustrated me more than I would like. But visually, it is a treat for the eyes, the ears. It's a sensation to experience. And imagine seeing it live, and I really get chills. So if you are not an American, go check that out. And my cheese rating is a cheese called Blue Elizabeth. It's a semi-soft, blue-veined farm cheese made with organic raw cow's milk. You know who also hates blue cheese?
Our patrons.
Blue cheese hates you.
Oh, yes. Our wonderful patrons. Thank you guys for listening. Please follow us on iTunes and Spotify at Musicals with Cheese. Leave a little comment. Apparently, you can comment on Spotify now, and we will read them on the podcast because it's fun. Please follow us on Twitter at Cheesy Musicals, Patreon Musicals with Cheese, Instagram Musicals with Cheese, YouTube page Musicals with Cheese. Liz is working on a couple videos over there. It's going to be fun. Our patron-only podcast is Patreon with Cheese. Email us at musicaltheaterliz@gmail.com. Our keeper of the cheese is Juliet Antonio. This show is edited by Andrew DeWolf, and I'm betting he's going to do a pretty heavy edit on this episode.
I'm gonna do a great job.
He will.
Give him a salute. Our previews theme was created by Robin Nash of IOU Music UK. Thank you to the Broadway Podcast Network for having us on the platform and for not kicking us off. For, you know, just this episode is chaos. We should be kicked off for this. All right, we'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.